Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from the Community Church in Christmas Valley saying, good morning. We're glad to talk to you about the things of God. I want to stay in the Gospel of John and chapter 10 for this time and this program. The last program was on opening the door, and I would like now to take you further on. Jesus spoke this parable of the door so that they would understand not what things which he spake to them. They didn't understand Jesus. So verse 7 tells us, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then he changes the metaphor and says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I want to stop there and share with you some of the things that are written here. In verse 7, we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, we are told that Jesus is the door, and he is knocking at the door. And Jesus is the door that can be opened, and we can enter into the kingdom of God. And we can go further than that. He says that he is the door. This is verse 9. And by me he shall be saved. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is a very tranquil place. Let me share with you first the distinctive position of the door. There are three doors that are talked about. The door of the sheepfold, the door of the sheep, and the door of salvation. You will find the door of the sheepfold talked about in verse 1. In verse 7, you'll see that Jesus is saying, I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, the door of salvation. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. And it's very interesting to discover this door is a distinctive position. You cannot have Jesus enter into your life unless you have opened the door of your heart to the Lord Jesus. It's an important factor that you and I need to spend time looking at. In chapter 9 and verse 39, it was self-confidence and self-complacency that the Pharisees that asked the man that was blind this question, and the word of God says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these things, and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. And Jesus is teaching this, that many people think they've got the upper hand of understanding academically the things of God, and they have no understanding at all. Now, I'm not trying to put down academia in any way at all. But I am saying to you, if you look at verse 5, Jesus has said that these thieves and robbers are the people the sheep will not follow. There is a distinction between the sheep and the robber, And I would like to say to you this, that the thief comes with stealth. He comes through the window. He comes over the fence. He sneaks through the door. He comes with stealth. You don't see him. You don't hear him. The robber just oozes in upon us. As Satan approached Eve, so we find the approach of Satan today, smooth, stealthy, deadly. But the robber comes with violence. He's the mugger. He bashes somebody on the head and steals their handbag. He knocks somebody over and steals their wallet. He has violence in him, and he is a robber. He is a robber that stops the stagecoach on the way to another town, and he shoots or he kills or he damages the lives of people to get what he wants. In the Western, he shoots the driver or the shotgun man, and he takes the box. Then he sends the stagecoach on its way, shoots the lock off the box, and steals the money. He is the robber. He is the stagecoach robber. And so with violence he comes. So Jesus has covered the base. There is the thief that comes in and steals with deadly stealth. And then there is the robber that comes in with sheer violence and demands and takes at the end of a gun or a knife or whatever. These things are happening in our day, and they're happening in the world. But think of the one who comes and robs our souls. He comes in stealthily, but with deadly force. He approaches us, and the one purpose is to destroy us, to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, to take our thinking away from Jesus, to take us into worlds that are not righteous, and to take our thoughts into patterns of thinking that are not right in God's eyes. I blame television for a lot of this. I blame some of the books that people read for a lot of it. To take care of your soul, you must learn to read the Word of God. You must learn to be able to worship God and to praise God quietly in your own closet. Jesus said, if you will pray, shut the door of the closet after you've entered in, and your Father that sees you in secret will reward you openly. Is your church struggling? I'm sure for that you will blame the pastor. Whether that's correct or not doesn't really matter. It's what happens in the day in which we live. Now you've blamed your pastor. You now are self-righteous about it because you've got a hook to hang your criticism upon. But now let's back off just a moment or two. And as you back off and you look at the situation, you might see yourself as a part of the robber. With violence do you speak? With violence do you take from that man some of the quietness of the Holy Spirit? Or maybe you're one of these people that talk behind the back of those that you criticize. You still hang your criticism on a hook, and you are quite justified in your mind that what you're saying is correct. I want to tell you that there is a problem, and it's not the pastor's, it's yours. I want to tell you that there is a problem that you are not addressing, and I'm telling you this very carefully and bluntly, but I would assess that the majority of people that I've just described are people that do not go into the closet, shut the door, and speak with God. A good pastor friend of mine was falsely accused of something, and he was shattered. I knew him to be a righteous, honest man. I knew him to be a sensitive, good man. So I didn't understand why this accusation was thrown at him. So I probed around and listened to people and found that there was absolutely no evidence. But someone had made the story up, and someone had put this thing out. And the tragedy is that people love to hear negative and awful things about someone else. And so the story got out, and so the story got round. And his life was just not ruined, but shattered in different places. He maintained his position in the gospel as the pastor. He maintained himself, but he was in a terrible state. You see, these thieves and these robbers with violence did take him, with stealth, with deadly force came upon him. But he went running to his closet, and he spoke oft with the Lord. The quickest way to solve the problem is not criticism. It certainly isn't in gossip. It is in prayer. And you start with personal prayer, where the weeping is done before the throne of grace. And the tears that God sees, he puts in a bottle, says the psalmist, and stores them to remember that you cried, you wept over the situation that you're praying over. And for some reason, that means a lot to the Lord. We have a convolution within the Christian work today that if we speak loudly enough and we squeak loudly enough, the oil gets put to the hinge of our squeak and the ear gets impressed by the gossip of our mouth. And we have a whole load of thieves and robbers. That being said, I'd like to go on and I'd like to share with you that is the distinctive position. Jesus is the door. And notice it's the door of the sheep. I can, with the burden of my heart, with the upset of my soul, with the complex difficulties of my life, go to the Lord Jesus and the door is wide open. Notice now verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now here's a curious thing. There is a sense in all those that are born again, that when someone is phony, when someone is not telling the truth, though they lean toward accepting gossip, and though they lean toward accepting mischief within the church that they fellowship, they also come to a place where they know it's untrue. A man came to me and said his daughter was up to no good. And she was messing around with the fellows. And he said, I just didn't know anything about this. And I said, I have to say to you, because you've let me know that you're a spiritual man, that I don't believe you. Because had you been a spiritual man, you would have gone into your closet and there wept before God before speaking to anybody about your daughter. And you would have laid open before the Lord the tenderness of her heart. And you would have been before the Lord weeping over this girl until she repented and was converted and was following Jesus. Then you should have come and talked to me. He said, I don't understand the closet experience. I had to explain that to him, and I'm not taking the time now to explain it. But notice verse 9, we find there is a great prompting here. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And here is salvation taught very plainly and without much ado. Notice the flow of love is unrestricted and it ought to be irresistible. Our hearts should be absolutely open to Jesus, the door. And we should open our hearts so widely that the Lord Jesus can pour into us the healing that we need, the healing that we have to have. Sometimes I am taken this way. I may be doing something, I may be going somewhere, but I need to stop and pray. It is said of Billy Graham in 1954, when he was in England, he had been out in the car with some friends, and he came to an open field. They were on their way to Wembley Stadium for the evening meeting, and he said, stop the car. And he walked off into this empty field and fell upon his knees. There was such a sudden burden in his heart. a burden in his soul for the souls of the people of London, for the people who would be there that night in Wembley Stadium. And he wept as he prayed, and eventually the story is, how truthful all this is, I'm not exactly sure, but I tend to believe it completely, that Cliff Burrows, or one like him, went up and touched his shoulder and said, Billy, it's time to be leaving. He reluctantly got off his knees and went with them, and they got to the stadium that night. The burden of souls. I hear people tell me that they weep over a congregation, but they weep over the wrong things. I've listened to people who have talked to me, and many, many times these people have wept over a situation within the congregation. They have wept over the condition of the congregation instead of addressing the souls of men and women, and their tears should have been there. We can solve anything when a person's heart is right with the Lord. We can solve any problem at all if a person's heart has the door of the Lord Jesus and it's wide open, he entering and you receiving. Have you received this power of the Lord Jesus? You see, talking about things that don't belong negates the closet experience. We need to get into that closet and, Lord, I'm asking you for souls. I don't know when the answer is likely to come. It may not come in your lifetime, but it will come. Eventually, God will bless. We don't want to be destroying people. We don't want to be destroying other people's property. Look at Jesus in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And if the truth is covered, if the truth becomes mysteriously damaged in our hearts, we need a repair very quickly, because old Satan is a thief and he comes to steal a person's heart from Jesus. He comes to steal the key to the door. He comes to steal. And you've got to see that Jesus is saying, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Spelled out in a different way at a later time, we are told in the epistles that the Lord Jesus wants us to have joy and peace. Where is the joy of the Christian? Where is the peace of the Christian? Why is the saint so mournful? Why is the saint without the joy of the Lord? What happened? Where did it get lost? How was the door closed? Listen to these words. It's an old hymn. It's written by John Wesley. And he wrote, and can it be that I should gain an interest in my Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, who him to death pursued? And then he goes on and says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn and sad, and found in him a resting place. He made me glad. My chains fell off. Now, I don't see a lot of Christians whose chains have fallen off. I find Christians following what they're told, but not what they've discovered from God's word. I find a lot of Christians who are following what they have learned academically from a book, but they're not people who have sought the book. One of the most important things you can ever do is to go into that same closet with your Bible, open it up and read and read. And if you don't understand what you're reading, read it again and again and again until you do read it and understand it. People say to me, I don't understand the King James Version. Of course you do. Just because it's written in Elizabethan English doesn't mean you can't understand it. It means you're making excuses for the things that it challenges you. Sure, there are other easier things to read, and I read them. I enjoy reading different paraphrases, different transliterations. I enjoy the read. But the best, perhaps, that we've got is the King James. And if you will read it until you understand it, you will start growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Saint, you do not have to be ignorant. We would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We would not have you to be without understanding. And the Word of God is easily understood when you read in the Spirit, and you will understand that Jesus came that they might have life, not be destroyed, not be stolen from, nor killed, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can have abundant life. I'm not sure I understand what abundant life is, but I am positive that the wonderful thing is this contest between good and evil, this contest between Jesus and Satan, is already won. Jesus has given us this life. He has given us this life. He said, I'm the door. Now, if you will allow and undo the lock, I will come into you. I will dwell with you. He says, if you'll cast your eyes over into the 27th verse of this 10th chapter, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh my! What a terrific statement! What a colossal confession Jesus made! My Father, God, and I are one. You're not getting plucked out of our hands. Though the world may assault you, though your health may let you down, though your whole life be in turmoil, though the promises made have been broken, and you have been recipient of unkindness and false teaching, come to this Lord Jesus Christ. Go into the closet. You don't need any priest or pastor to tell you how to do this. Go into a place where you are alone. Open your word, the word of God, and read it, and take it in, and say to the Lord, please, will you bless this word into my heart? The door is open. I'm willing. I'm wanting to understand. And he will not fail you for one second. If you don't understand it, well, as I've already said, read it again. And again, until you do understand what it is that the Word of God is saying to you. Jesus said, come to me. If you will come to him in this way, if you'll turn the television off, if you'll turn the radio off, and I shouldn't say that because this radio station offers me this moment of time, but I would say to you, if you'll turn everything off and turn the clutter and busyness of the day off, and you will enter into that solitary place, wherever it may be, a quiet place. Read the Word of God and make your requests known to him, and come with prayers and supplications and open your heart to him. You will have life, and you will have it abundantly. One of the sad and tragic things we see today is that Christians are not triumphant. We can be triumphant. We do not have to admit defeat. We do not have to go under. We do not have to go to the bankruptcy court. We do not have to go anywhere. We have to go to the closet with Jesus, and we have to admit our spiritual bankruptcy and allow him to deal with us, not according to our sins, but according to his tender mercies and his loving kindness. And our sins he will remember no more. And when we put ourselves in the place where we open the door and Jesus comes in, God the Father sees us as people who have never sinned. Isn't that remarkable? That's the teaching of the Word of God. When we put our trust in Jesus, God the Father sees us as his dear children, as if we have never sinned. We put on Christ. Christ never sinned. That ought to bring hallelujahs to your mind and praise the Lord's to your mouth and acceptable blessings to your life. Oh, dear, dear saint, will you come close to this Lord Jesus today and with me enter into the closet quietly and present, make your requests known to God? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us, to bless us, and to hold us. And as we come close to you in the closet, hear us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Goodbye. God bless.